Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am here today with my friend, Dr. Anthony Mattis. Welcome, Anthony.
Hi, Betsy. Thank you for having me.
You are so very welcome. And I love the title of what we're talking about today, which is Beyond Room 12.
Yeah.
And I know you will tell us what that means. And just a little bit of an explanation, you know, like just a little bit of a teaser of what we're going to talk about. Wondering, have you felt like you've been fighting your whole life, proving that you weren't what was being projected at you and fighting to not become what that was, or maybe you actually did become it because that's what you thought you were supposed to do? And so what if you didn't have to fight? What if you didn't have to fight that anymore? And that's what some of what we're going to explore today with Anthony. And just a little bit about Anthony. I actually have known him for quite a few years now. It's kind of hard to believe that one, but we met through Access Consciousness. We met at a class and we became friends, and we've seen each other over the years at different events. And Anthony is a certified facilitator with Access Consciousness, as I am, and he's been using those tools that basically have changed every area of his life, as it has for me as well, for, what has it been, like 7, 8 years, something like that?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Time has flown, for sure.
Yes. And he stumbled across Access in his wife of 10 years had recently passed away, and he was raising 3 kids on his own. And he had done a lot of different modalities and really was looking for something different. And he stumbled across Access Consciousness, and I'll let him tell a little bit of the story. And he got so much change from it. And then from there, you know, his whole life has changed. So I'm wondering, Anthony, like, where would you like to start with this conversation today about Beyond Room 12?
Well, yeah, I know that at Room 12, that topic in of itself is a whole conversation. But that was, you know, being a chiropractor for about 15 years before Access came, you know, across the, I guess, my email thread. You know, my first wife had committed suicide at the time. She had struggled with bipolar disorder since she was 17 years old. And you know, this particular episode, you know, for whatever reason, she decided to, you know, to end her life. And so, like you said earlier, it was the kids at the time were 10, 8, and 2.5 years old, 2 boys and a girl. And, you know, we had both been studying so many different techniques and modalities. We were both seekers, and being in the profession, her being like a yoga instructor, we studied a lot of different healing techniques. And, you know, they would work for a little while, but they weren't really you know, lasting. And so we were always seeking for something else, not just with healing techniques, but also like on a spiritual level too. So we had a guru, we did metaphysical work, we went into non-denominational Christianity. And so when she made the choice that she did, I was like, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? You know, it's like for all the work that we put into all the self-help, self-development, it's like we had nothing to show for it. And the allopathic community failed us too. I mean, to be quite frank, you know, it's not like we just did the holistic and natural stuff. We you know, we used even modern medicine. I mean, nothing worked. Okay. And so the whole room 12 conversation was, I'll tell you though, me going into that situation, what that actually created for me is it forced me to step up, and it forced me to sort of stop. Like, I couldn't make any excuses anymore for my past, and because the kids needed me, and although I was always there for my kids, but I needed to be so present, so available. So whatever insecurities I had from the room 12 stigma, it didn't matter. You know, it became about, you know, me trying to, you know, keep my chiropractic practice going, sustaining that, but also being home, present, and available for the children. And so I was able to do that and rearrange my hours in such a way that, you know, 3 out of the 5 days a week, I was able to be home by the time they got off the school bus. And so that worked out, and I was really grateful for that. And I had 2 late evenings where I had to accommodate the working people after work. And luckily I had some friends, interesting, not the friends that were my friends, like new friends. It was like my friends that I thought were my friends disappeared, and other friends sort of stepped up, which I think was a very interesting experience. And so nevertheless, the whole room 12 conversation was about this remedial classroom that I was put in middle school. And it was known as room 12 because that was the, you know, the door and the number on the door. And ever since I was in second grade, I was put in these remedial classes, but there wasn't really a stigma attached to it until middle school. And it was interesting because some of the kids that were in that classroom were significantly, I don't know what the politically correct term is these days. I don't know, there's all these new definitions, but let's just say that they were significantly mentally delayed compared to me. And yet I'm in a classroom and it's like 3 of us, 4 of us. And I'm saying to myself, is this where I am in the world? You know, is this like, what does this mean for me? You know, and people would refer to that room as the retard room. And I do not mean any disrespect to anyone who has children who may be, you know, delayed in that way. And, but, you know, I didn't think it was appropriate for me to be in a classroom like that because it really created about 30 something years of having the stigma of like, am I that below, you know, par, you know what I mean? And so, and it was like the school system was the thing that's supposed to sort of like evaluate you and set you on a course to hopefully be successful, right? So those were the barometers that you were measured by. And so if you're not meeting those thresholds, if you're not meeting those barometers, or at least being on par, then it's like, what do you do? Everybody's going to college except for you. You know what I mean? And I didn't even know a trade. I wasn't even good with my hands. I didn't even know how to change a flat tire. You know, my father didn't show me anything with regards to how to fix anything. So it was like, I didn't even consider being a trade. So I'm like, what am I going to be when I grow up? So it was tough for a really, really long time. And it really wasn't until Access Consciousness came along in my life. And not only did that help me with the grieving process and created so much for my children, but because of the different programs that they have available, the different resources, in particular specifically the X-Men classes that we take or that are offered in Access Consciousness, it got me to see how those labels of ADD, ADHD, autism, OCD, all of that were actually a capacity of mine. They just maybe didn't fit this reality's way of measuring someone's potential for success, let's say. And so, you know, I was like 45 years old, 46 years old, when I started hearing like these different possibilities for people who, well, really for everyone. It's like, you don't have to have had these particular diagnoses to benefit from the tools of access or to have gone through a tragedy. But I mean, I thought I was a dummy most of my life. And I forced myself to go to college. I went to community college. I got tutors when I needed it. And, you know, I ended up going to chiropractic school. I didn't even consider med school because my point of view was, you know, I wasn't smart enough, you know. And I'm not trying to diss the chiropractic profession, but there's a lot of geniuses in the chiropractic profession. But it would have been nice to actually also have a medical degree, too, because it would have been nice to have both worlds as of a place and space to function from. But I didn't have the confidence in myself to pass those tests that you had to, because I didn't think I had the foundation, because they told me I didn't. So I believe them.
Right. And that was going to be my question, is like, how much was that projected at you from a very young age that you did not have that capacity?
110%. I mean, not just from the school system, but both of my parents. And, you know what would have been the solution for me would have been, and had they got me like a tutor to work with me, like whenever, and the few times that they did, I got great grades. I got great grades. It was weird. So, you know, I wasn't as dumb as I thought I was, but for whatever reason, they quit giving me that sort of like that extra guidance or that extra help. And had I had that, I would have gotten A's and you know, and B's and stuff like that. I, you know, and but with those few times where I did actually have a tutor, I was like, oh wow, it was great, because it was presented in a way that worked for my brain. In a classroom setting, I just got distracted by everything, you know what I mean? I was looking at the pretty girls, I was thinking about my next baseball game or my next football game or basketball game. My leg was going up 1,000 miles per hour. And, you know, before you knew it, it was the end of the day. And I'm like, all I could wait for is recess. You know, they should have let me dribble a basketball while they were teaching social studies. I would have retained everything. But as you know, school's not that way. But I'll tell you, it's amazing how these stigmas stick you. And not only that, not only like this whole collective program called the institution of school, but then there were like these individual teachers that really said things that locked me up. Like one guy called me a functional illiterate, and that like reverberated in my brain for 30 something years until I took the X-Men class with Gary Douglas. I'm not going to say what he said to sort of give me the awareness that actually changed that point of view that was projected on me. It's not definitely not appropriate for this call, but if you come to one of my classes, I'll tell you. Anyway, but it changed it. It like literally, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, this, I understand what my quote unquote weaknesses are, if there are weaknesses, you know what I mean? I understand that I have a certain way of learning. And if I'm going to retain things, I need to do it in a certain way that actually works for me. But again, if you don't fit the system where most people do, more than 80%, you feel like there's something wrong with you. And then like I said, they put you in a class where these kids are like really, really mentally delayed. And you're wondering, you're like, is that me too? You know, and so, and God bless those children as well. And well, now they're adults, but God bless them as well. And I hope they're thriving. You know, I hope they found something to get them to go beyond whatever it is that they were labeled with at that particular time. But as you know, middle school's tough. It's tough. So I used to wait for everybody to go into their classroom before I would walk into room 12 because the kids would talk about how it was the retard room. And God forbid they saw me going into that classroom, you know, had a reputation to protect, you know?
Wow. Gosh, there's so many different things that you've already touched on. And wow. So when you were going through middle school, and is this when it started for you? It was in middle school that you were put in room 12?
No. Well, room 12 was middle. It was seventh and eighth grade in middle school. And that's where the stigma was a stigma. Whereas like in elementary school, you know, I would be taken out and I would have to go to those remedial classrooms. But it was never a thing. It was never, I don't remember that being like the stigma or being embarrassed. And, but, you know, but there were times where they would like make me, you know, they would have me look at those, I forget the names of it, where they splatter black paint on a whiteboard. I forget. They were like, what do you see? And I'm thinking, why am I the only guy doing this? You know what I mean? I'm like, I see splattered paint. And, you know, and then I'm like, okay, they want me to use my imagination. So I would like use my imagination, you know, but it was like, I always felt like I was different because I was the only one being pulled out of the class to go do these things. And I almost failed the sixth grade, you know, and I had to go do summer school. And that was a bit. And so that's when it started to really become a thing for me. But definitely before that, but it wasn't so much where I tried to protect it and hide it, you know, and it was middle school. So the remedial rooms in elementary school, they weren't called room 12. I don't even remember what the room was. Nobody cared, you know, but middle school, because there were kids there that were significantly mentally delayed, everybody knew it as the retard room. Everybody knew it's like the kid that drove on the red bus, go to that room. And that was tough.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, well, I guess this is a two-part question. Right? So you navigated the best you could at the time. And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that. And then the second part of this is asking you what you could contribute for people who might either be going through it themselves or if they have children. And I think we might want to hold this and go to our first break, and then we'll touch on this when we come back. Thanks, guys.
Sounds good.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Looking to change anything in your life, to have an even greater appreciation of everything around you? Would you enjoy having a life of more joy and greater abundance and explore what is possible for you? My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I invite you to explore simple and pragmatic tools that I share on my radio show, Imperfect Brilliance. I know firsthand that you can change anything. We explore tools and questions with amazing guests, offering all kinds of conversations on living your best life. I invite you to listen in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to Imperfect Brilliance. Consider a coaching call with me and let's explore what you would like your life to be like. Visit my website at www.creatingyumminess.com, and you're invited to call in to Imperfect Brilliance with your questions Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I look forward to connecting.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to Imperfect Brilliance. I am Betsy McLaughlin here today with Dr. Anthony Mattis. And we are talking about going beyond room 12. And Anthony was explaining to us what room 12 was and how that impacted his life. And if you do you remember the question that I asked you before the break, or do I need to?
Yeah. Well, I think you asked me sort of like, how did I, you know, get around it or go beyond that, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember the rest. But yeah, well, you know, what happened was high school came, and I remember my freshman year. Again, there was a room. It wasn't called room 12 at the time, but it was a little bit more, you know, I guess discreet than room 12 was. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point that they separated the kids that, you know, were a lot more delayed, you know. But it was my freshman year, and I remember like just being so bored, and I wasn't really doing anything in those classes anyway. So I'm like, why am I even here? And I started to feel like my brain was slowing down somewhat, like not in a bad way, but it just wasn't as like hyper-minded, so to speak. And I'm like, I wonder if I just, you know, like it was more of like, I was a popularity thing. It was more like wanting to fit in. So that kind of like motivated me somewhat. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, like my academic foundation at that point was not good. You know what I mean? Well, so I felt like I was behind the eight ball at that point. However, I remember going to the guidance counselor. I'm like, I want you to put me in a normal English class. And I don't want to go to the special ed room anymore. I don't need to be there. And I guarantee you I can get the same exact grade in regular English that I can in the special ed English. And so it was like a big deal. And they actually let me do it. And sure enough, I actually got a better grade. But I've had to force myself to study, and I didn't really have great like study habits. I, you know, it would probably take an average kid like an hour to study for something. It probably took me 3 hours because I was like doing it on my own, and it would have been great to have had a tutor and had guidance, but for whatever reason, I was started to become more motivated just want to be normal like everybody else. And so I did, but I did still struggle in certain areas because I didn't have the foundation. And I also had a big case of the fuckets, to be honest with you, too, because I'm like, wow, because my foundation was so poor and a lot of like colleges look at like your SAT scores and all that. I had no clue which way was up when it came to the SAT stuff. I even went to, you know, whatever those courses that you would take. And I was in the courses, and I was totally lost. So it was very, very clear to me that I had like zero foundation, because it's like they're teaching me stuff that I should have already known by now, you know, at that point. And I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to go to college. So I made up my mind that I just need to graduate and get through, and I'm going to go to community college, because you know you're taught you need to go to college to be successful in life back in those days,
right?
You know, or learn a trade. And the one thing that I knew for sure was that I wanted to help people. I didn't know how, but I thought it was going to be in a counseling type setting. And I knew I was going to have to go to school for that, to get that kind of training. And so I went to community college, and where I needed to get that extra help, I got it. And I found myself being able to listen for the first time in class. And I was actually into it. So it's like, I was driven by the need to prove. I started this fight, so to speak, within me, but that was like my fuel to prove the system wrong. And ask me if I had any fun. No, I had zero fun. But I proved to myself that I wasn't a dummy, you know what I mean? And but yet while still feeling like a dummy. You get what I mean? It's weird. It was like I got decent grades. I got A's, B's, some C's here and there, but mainly B's, and which is above average, which was a big deal for me. And then I eventually transferred into a four-year college, and who, by the way, a very good friend of mine helped me to get into because he worked on the staff. I didn't apply to any other universities. And at that school, I think I averaged somewhere like a B average. But, I still at the end, I wasn't impressed, you know, with myself. And I still had this thing like, what am I going to be when I grow up? Because I realized that my four-year bachelor's degree really didn't qualify me to do much of anything. So I'm like, then I started looking at like, what's the point of college? You know, it's like, and half of the people that go don't end up doing what they studied anyway. And then you incur all this debt. And then so I worked for a few years. I still knew I wanted to help people. And I decided to go to chiropractic school. And that was probably one of the best choices that I'd ever made. And I really loved being at chiropractic school. I loved learning the hands-on healing therapies. And I went there because I had the sense that I could help people, not just on a physical level, but also on like an emotional level as well, because I always believe that a lot of people's physical issues are connected to emotional issues as well. And during that time, I remember going to a therapist because I had a lot of family issues. And I remember the therapist saying, you know what, why don't you consider being like a clinical social worker or a psychologist or something? And I'm like, well, I have a feeling that I'm going to be able to discover that path through chiropractic somehow. And then I learned that there's over hundreds of different techniques, ways to practice chiropractic. And I learned as many of them as I could. And that's how I practiced. I practiced in a very holistic manner, and it did bring me great joy. But there was still something missing. There was still something missing because it was like people, like I wanted to help people, like I wanted to give them like vegetables, meat, grains, fruit, and all this other stuff. And, you know, when you hear a chiropractor, you only think one thing, like musculoskeletal. And so it was like, I'm trying to give them everything and they're only wanting a piece. So I found myself like perpetually frustrated and helping them more than they really wanted to be helped. And, and I wasn't willing to abuse the system, like the insurance system, to get paid more. So I found myself struggling as a chiropractor to make ends meet the first half of my career. And then things picked up a little bit, but never really beyond mediocrity, you know, and it wasn't because I wasn't a great healer or wasn't great at what I did. It just something was missing. And then, you know, and then I went through what I went through with my wife and my first wife, and still searching and seeking. But at that point I was fed up with modalities, but this thing called access consciousness comes along, and everywhere in my mind was like, no, not again, not another technique. But something kept pulling me towards it to at least explore it. Mm-hmm. And as much as I resisted it in the very beginning, Betsy, it was the result that I saw that it created for the kids. And I'll tell you, I have three brilliant children, and they are super aware, super psychic, and all very, 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 very academically inclined. I've even done a video called Forrest Gump Syndrome, as well as a Room 12 video. And, you know, and I had Forrest Gump Syndrome. And for those of you who've watched Forrest Gump, you know, when he found out he had a kid, one of the first questions he asked was, you know, is this kid, you know, is this kid as handicapped as he was academically? And you know, and Jenny, his girlfriend, that he made the baby with, was like, no, he's actually in advanced classes. And that's how it is for my kids. But it was like, again, I had to fight to make sure They weren't as dumb as I was. Now, like, so it created one way, but it also created a lot of stress for them. You know what I mean? So it was like I was functioning from this space of not only having to be a perfect parent, but making sure my kids were perfect while saying it's okay to be imperfect at the same time. So there was a lot of conflict in that way. So they were smart. Yes, they outcreated everything that I had done during, you know, my formative years academically. And, you know, so it worked in one hand, but in the second hand, it did create a lot of pressure for them that was not necessary. But it was all of it was in the end boiled down to me having to prove I wasn't dumb, me having to prove I wasn't a bad parent or a dumb parent, and me proving that my kids aren't dumb. So it's like all this proving and proving and proving and proving, and some of it was fuel to motivate me, but at the same time, there was no space for fun for me. You know what I mean? And again, because of access, I started getting over that point of view of having to be perfect and having to control and fight to prove something like the system wrong, so to speak. It was like I was angry with the system, which all that does is create division, right? It's just another way to fight and create separation, right? Because the system isn't all bad. It works for some people, right. It just didn't work for me. So it's like you spend your whole life fighting, thinking that the fight is what creates the fuel to motivate you. And then, you know, in part that is true, but also in part it creates this contraction in your universe that doesn't allow you to see the gift that you are and to have fun.
Yeah, and that's the piece I wanted to ask you, like, for anybody who is like that, you're talking about my life, you know, like, oh my God. And, or they've got children who might be going through it. What could you offer them as far as, you know, some tips and tools or questions that they could start exploring to create something that might be different from what's going on in their lives right now?
Yeah. Yep. Great question. You know, the first place I'm going to start is saying, you know, learn the bars technique. Okay. It's a hands-on process. That's super gentle. That you place your hands on these 32 points on your head, and the bars stands for these bars of energy that run from one side of the brain to the next. And just to keep it simple, it's just a way of, calming the brain down. It's a way of sort of deleting sort of like the angst in one's universe, and especially like, you know, places or those quadrants in the brain that might be overfiring or underfiring. And so it's just a great thing to learn for your family, not only to help sort of like regulate the brain, so to speak, but to also create a greater connection between you and the children. So learning this bars technique to me is one of the most valuable tools on planet Earth, because I believe it can help with anxiety. I know it can help with anxiety, depression, and just help the kids to relax so that they actually enjoy school, enjoy learning. And so that's the first place I would start. And there's bars practitioners all over the world, literally. The other place is, you know, there's so many available resources today. And it's very, you know, in Access Consciousness, we talk about when, like, you project things on people, when you project points of view, when you expect things of people, right? Even if you don't say anything verbally, if people are aware enough, they're gonna feel the energy that you're projecting at them and what your expectations are, especially children. They know when their parents are disapproving, even if they don't say anything. They know, they can feel the parents' energy, right? So what I would say is, as a parent, is stop projecting and expecting and judging your children to be like you were. Or the opposite. Don't project and expect and judge them and do everything in your power to make sure that they're not like you were, because that creates strife in their universe. So it's like, look at them for who they are and what they are, mm-hmm. and surround them with the resources that are going to help them thrive. And that's what I did for my kids. It's like, if I knew they needed help in this area, it's like I did my best never to project wrongness into their universe. But sometimes when I came from that place of fear, I did that. Not because I was making them wrong for like not doing well, but it was more like the fear of them ending up like me, right? So mm-hmm. it sounds like right. it comes out. To them, it looks like I'm making them wrong. So I've had to right. backtrack and apologize to them. Like, I am so sorry. I was an asshole. You know, what can I do for the damage done? And I would have to have a certain level of vulnerability with them. Be like, you know what? The reason why I spoke in this way or came at you this way is because I'm coming from this place of fear, that because I don't want you to have the same struggles I did. And I'm sorry because you're not like me. You're not going to be like me. And, you know, what can we do to make this easier for you? And so, you know, whether it's getting them tutors, whether it's spending more time with them, reading to them, you know, whatever, just find out what your kids need. And each kid is different. Don't treat each child the same because they're going to be different. And there's an amazing book that you all need to get. And it's called Would You Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree, which is a famous quote by Albert Einstein. And, you know, I don't know that my parents tried to teach me much of anything. My mother was always in survival mode. And, you know, and the dad who raised me was only in household for like 5 years, you know. And so, you know, they did not. But the school system, you know, tried to teach me to climb a tree when I was a fish. You know what I mean? So so one thing that I knew, and I didn't know about that quote when I had children, but one thing that I remember always sort of, it was like a vow I made. And I'm like, I'm going to surround my children with whatever it is that they need so they can thrive. Because my job, my point of view is my job as a parent is to create a nurturing environment that helps them to shine. And each kid may require a completely different surrounding than the next, so to speak. You know what I mean? So the willingness to adjust and adapt to their needs. So that was like, to me, probably one of the greatest choices and awarenesses I have ever had. You know, I'm not one to compliment myself, but I started doing that lately, or acknowledging myself lately. But that was one thing that I knew I needed to do in order for anybody to thrive, because it wasn't about surviving for me. I'm like, screw surviving. I want to thrive. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, and I want my children to thrive. So I created an environment for them where their gifts and capacities could shine and thrive. And even during the grief, even during the tragedy, I knew they were going to go through difficult times. I knew there was going to be some rebellion and some anger. And there was in different ways, especially with my oldest. And, you know, he was a genius. He is a genius. And, you know, he's probably in the top 10 of his class. And before he graduated, he probably ended up in barely graduating. But it wasn't because he wasn't intelligent. He just wasn't making smart choices, and he chose to rebel, and he had a big case of the fuckets, you know what I mean? But it was like that required a certain level of vulnerability on my part as his father. And I found myself constantly reacting to the choices he was making. And again, as a parent, when you're reacting, all that does is create more separation. And when I finally got vulnerable with him, he was able to get vulnerable with me. And I'm like, you know, what can we do? What can we do to, you know, help you thrive? And he's like, you know, I don't want you to keep feeling like I'm going to end up like mom, you know, and started opening up to me about some of the choices he was making. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, so we created like a deal. We went into negotiation, let's say, you know, and then he decided to, it was 110% his choice. He decided to go into the military. And it is the best decision that he's ever made. And he's thriving there. And he's happy he's made the choice. He doesn't have any regrets about that choice. And he's thriving there. And he's getting what he needed to receive from it. And it's really beautiful to see him make that choice on his own.
That's really something. And, you know, so, you know, we all look at, gosh, this time's going by fast. All right, hang with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Anthony Mattis. Thanks, guys.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. We're having a wonderful conversation today with Dr. Anthony Mattis. But before we get more into this conversation, because wow, has this time gone by fast, I would like to let everybody know that one of the things that Dr. Anthony does is a three-day body class. And I have had the pleasure and privilege and honor of being in several of these classes with him, and I am hosting him in the Washington, D.C. area. So if you guys are interested, you can find out information at Anthony's website, which is Dr. Anthony Mattis, MATTIS.com. And you can also find out more information on the Access Consciousness website, and that is now I'm not going to remember the exact date. Do you remember the exact date, Anthony?
It is January, I believe it's the 8th through the 10th.
Thank you. I thought it was the 8th, and I'm like, I don't want to say the wrong date. But yes, it is the first full weekend in January after the holiday, so it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we would love for you to explore what that is, and the only prerequisite is to having taken a foundation class, and I can help you answer any questions on all of that if you are interested, and get you flight information, hotel information if you're coming from a different area, and they're just so wonderful for your body and what it how you start to learn receiving and communion with your body. And it's just absolutely remarkable. And it starts with what Anthony talked about before, which is that's how I found out about all of this, was through the access bars. And I am so, so grateful that I found it, because certainly my life has completely changed and just continues to get better and better, and I no longer have the stress that I used to have. And even when things, you know, show up in your life, you just have a different way of being with all of it. So we'd love for you guys to come play with us. And Anthony's website, as I just mentioned, is Dr. Anthony Mattis, and he facilitates classes on a lot of different subjects, including the X-Men, which is what we're talking about today. He's also, as I just mentioned, a three-day body facilitator. He also teaches classes on the specialty of conscious parents, conscious kids, and what else? There's something else I feel like I'm missing.
Yeah, the X-Men.
Yes, thank you.
And talk
I'm like,
to the
thing we're talking about today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, so thank you. The X-Men, which is kind of what we're starting to talk about today, and also talk to the entities. So lots and lots of different possibilities and topics that you could explore with Anthony online or in person. Anything else you would like to add to that, Anthony?
No, you hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, come play. Awesome. It, you know, makes you feel light.
Awesome. Thank you. And so with everything that we're talking about today, with the, you know, fighting against what might have been projected at you by teachers, society, schools, if you don't fit in the box that, you know, many schools will put you in, what would be like your top couple of questions or tips that you could give to anybody in that going through that right now?
Well, a great question to ask is, you know, truly what else is possible, you know? And so, you know, for me, today there's a lot more resources available for children, you know, and there's so many different online homeschooling programs. There's all different kinds of tutors, you know, and then, different actually on-site schools you can go to besides the public school system and besides even like, you know, private schools. There's other schools that like, what do you call it, like Montessori school and, you know, all these other types of schools that I don't even know the names of, but I know that they're out there. So it's like do some research, you know, do some research, talk to people, talk to the different teachers and stuff like that. And, you know, you may find that one child's not going to go to the same school as the other child, and that's okay. You know, that's totally fine. You know, I have three kids. My oldest went through the public school system. My second son ended up, because he's pursuing a career in film and TV, and, you know, he's made a couple of movies already. So, you know, after his freshman year in high school, he chose to be homeschooled. So he did homeschooling for the last two more years because he skipped a grade. And then my daughter is going to a private Christian school. So she's, you know what I mean? So she's, all three are doing something totally different. So my point of view is, you know, again, it all goes back to find out and talk to your kids, ask them what they want, ask them what they want and present to them the different scenarios and possibilities and things of that nature. And just because you did a certain route, it doesn't mean they have to do that route because they're not the same as you. They're different than you are. And your job as a parent, from my point of view, is you need to create the environment where your kid can thrive. And so do the research, see what's out there. You may try one thing one year and find it didn't work, so try something else. And don't get discouraged. Like, never give up, never give in, never quit. Because, you know, in 2021, there are a lot of available resources. And learn how to run your child's bars and teach them how to do it too. Because that is, to me, one of the greatest healing gifts that you could actually have available as a family.
So, so true. And, you know, it's because one of the things that I heard that might be an objection for somebody is a monetary thing. If they don't have the funds to send somebody, one of their kids, to a private school, you know, what else would you recommend there?
Well, I mean, then there's a lot of homeschool stuff. There's so many free schooling programs that exist out there. So you may want to consider, you know, homeschool. There's lots of available free stuff you can do with that. And I would just say, you know, make sure though that, you know, your kid is involved in, you know, extracurricular activities, whatever that is, whatever there, you know, whether it's art or theater or, you know, music or playing an instrument, and just make sure they're social, you know, and they get out and involved in different groups. But there's tons of free stuff. I mean, the online schooling program that my second son did, that was all free. It was all free, you know? And so, and how does it get better than that? And there's more than one type of free program that's available out there. And, yeah, so, I mean, they're out there. There's a lot of different resources that are available.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And that question, you know, that we do love so much of what else truly is possible. And, you know, so if there's anywhere where you're feeling like you're hitting a brick wall and there is nothing else possible, if you start asking that question, it opens up windows and doors of possibility that didn't exist before you started asking that question. So I can't recommend that question highly enough. It has changed so many things for me in my own life. And, you know, it's right. So it's where anywhere that you have that point of view that you can't change something, if you start asking that question, miracles start showing up, truly.
Yeah. And ask teachers. You know, teachers are in the field, and even though they may be in the traditional setting, they still know what other available resources exist out there, because, you know, they're informed of these different things. And so, and that's what I did. I would just ask questions. I would keep asking questions to different teachers that I knew, retired teachers, teachers that are presently teaching, and you'd hear all these different ideas and possibilities. So there's so many things available for people to choose from.
I love that so much. And, you know, Anthony, it certainly, you know, your experience obviously shaped who you are now and shaped your life and created. If you could go back to the kid in room 12 in middle school, what would you say to him?
Oh, good Lord. Man, yeah, you're going to make me cry when I think about that. Well, you know, I have to say, I was blessed in the sense that, you know, if you have a kid that's struggling out there, okay, it takes one person to speak into that kid's life to give him hope. And whether it comes from you, the parent, or one teacher, or the guidance counselor, you know, one person to speak into that kid's life and to give him hope and possibility. And so I was fortunate enough along the way. One thing about me is I've always been an open book, right? I always wore my heart on my sleeve. So you always knew where I was coming from. So along the way, there was always that one person, even though I would have 100 people like project such awful, mean, vicious things into my world, I would always have that one person that would come along and say, hey, man, you got what it takes. I see something inside of you. Now, what I didn't know that it was going to take so fucking long, to be honest with you, I didn't know it was going to take so long. And so what I would say is, like, you're going to go through a lot of ups and downs in life, but I don't want you to doubt yourself for one minute. Because you have what it takes to be successful. And I probably also would have said, and listen, don't make women your main priority, because they will distract you. They will distract you, especially when those hormones start kicking in, man. And I don't even know if I would have listened to my older self, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? But, I wish someone would have had a sit down with me about women and the birds and the bees, because good Lord, did I allow that to distract the hell out of me too. And that I think that was a big part of my delay. You know what I mean? I would be like, I would also tell myself, I'm like, if you don't like reading, which reading is not super fun for me even till this day, if you don't like reading, go out and get videos on books or audios on books, and start listening to these people now while you're in high school. Don't wait till you're in your 20s and 30s. So I would have, like, kind of given myself a lot more guidance Because I was lost. I was like, I was, you know, the ship without a rudder. I was so friggin' lost during those high school days. So I would have given myself a little more guidance in terms of, like, resources, you know what I mean, to seek out. But I want to say, I doubt any of those people were listening, but I want to give a shout out to all of you who spoke into my life along the way to keep me going, because you did give me that glimmer of hope to keep going, to keep fighting. And then Gary Douglas comes along. Not only did he give me hope, but he got me to see where all those things that I thought were wrongnesses about me and how they're strongnesses about me.
Wow. Thank you so much listening to Imperfect Brilliance. And Anthony, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing a little bit of your story with us. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Anthony.